No matter if points are gained or points are lost, there will be much to discuss. For analysis regarding tonight's Winnipeg Jets game, here are Dave Manuk, Ezra Ginsberg, and your host, Drew Mandel. The Illegal Curve post-game show starts now.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. For all those joining us live this afternoon on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms, we say good afternoon, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. With Dave Manuk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. On the strength of a third period power play goal by Pierre-Luc Dubois, the Winnipeg Jets win the all-important special teams battle by a 1-0 margin. And as far as anyone else knows, that was the final score in tonight's game. Right, Dave? They certainly, nothing happened at 5-on-5.
Well, I was trying to get my lipstick ready to put it on that pig because there won't be any way to gussy up that ugly game, Drew. Yep. So you finally, I mean, the Jets did win the special teams battle. I mean, hey, they held the 23rd ranked power play to no goals in four opportunities. So, I mean, and Eric Comrie got his first assist. But now that we got the good things out of the way.
Yeah, there you go. Now that the parade route has been planned, we can summarily cancel that parade route very quickly. A 7-1 shellacking of the Winnipeg Jets at the hands of the Minnesota Wild. It was one-sided from the get-go. It was not even close from puck drop. This was a Winnipeg Jets team that now has lost 5 in a row. You wonder if this is rock bottom. But to me, what is as concerning about anything for this team is the fact that they just were not ready to play the game at any point in time today.
I mean, explain to me how a team is down. Look, I mean, you had a bit of a shot edge to start, if you want to talk about that. But I mean, you give up the goal fairly early.
52 seconds into the game.
Off the Ehlers tip. I guess Ehlers was desperate to score, so he inadvertently tips it past Connor Hellebuck. And then the second Minnesota goal was an unusual one, right? Like it, yeah. I mean, and it's interesting. They're saying, well, you know, let the goal. I mean, how often is Connor Hellebuck ever beaten by that far out? And I know it went off of his shoulder and off the back of the crossbar and then off his elbow and back in the net. But, you know, Michael Jordan would say swish, nothing but net. And the reality is still the reality, which is a 2-0 Minnesota lead. And, you know, you're thinking to yourself, okay, it's 2-0. Jets haven't scored a goal since the first period of the game against the Penguins on Monday. But, you know, they've got, and for some reason, Paul Maurice decided to go 11-7 today. Yeah, so, you know, which we'll talk about. So you think they still can, you know, maybe run their guys a little bit and get something going. And then that second period happens and you get outshot. You're down 2 goals mm-hmm. and you get outshot 21-6 by, and don't get me wrong, Minnesota's a good team, like the top team in the Central Division. So right. Sometimes it's like, we have that bias. Folks who cover, but people who watch the Jets exclusively watch the Western Conference. Like a lot of people took Columbus lightly, and Columbus isn't necessarily a bad team. You know, they have as many points as the Jets with fewer games played, and Merzlikins isn't a bad goaltender. So sometimes people have this expectation. Look, Arizona isn't a good team, so you can say you should expect them to beat Arizona, but you didn't expect this Jets team to come in there, and especially the way they've been playing, and beat Minnesota. I didn't, at least. I thought they were going to have to play a much better game. They were going to have to play an Edmonton-style game against Minnesota than if they were going to have hope of containing this team and winning the game. We didn't see that. And to me, you know, the early goal, you can call it a fluke. Both Minnesota goals in the first, you could call them flukes, whatever. I mean, they still shot pucks at the net, and they still had bodies in front of the net, which I think
two is things the Jets can't do.
No, which is, yeah, exactly. The Jets are just unwilling to have someone in front mm-hmm. and creating confusion and creating chaos. So that's for sure a big problem with Winnipeg. And the other thing is there's no pushback. And that to me is more concerning than losing 7-1. I mean, you got pumped. I mean, 7-1 is just a pumping. So that's just embarrassing in of itself. But the biggest concern, if you're a Jets fan or if you're the Jets team, is having no, I mean, what's your justification? Like Minnesota came from, where did they come from? New Jersey, where they had that bizarre.
Everybody had time off. It's not the.
No, but I'm just saying, like, so everybody is dealing with the same situation. Minnesota was traveling just like the Jets. They weren't waiting for Winnipeg. They had to travel from New Jersey, where they had to sit for an hour, you know, waiting to be able to get into the
arena. Holland Tunnel. Yeah.
So as a result, like, you've got, you know, a team, Minnesota, like, they had the same requirements as the Winnipeg Jets, and yet they were able to come out and play the way they did. So, yeah,
I'm a little concerned. I just got a text from you, Dave, that said, be there in two, which is odd because I think it took a while for your text to come through then in that case, because I'm pretty sure we're talking to each other right now. So this is
okay,
a little
bit of my hands are right here. The phone's over there. So, I mean, it's definitely not the case. But, yeah, so, I mean, look, I think that to me, you know, kind of screamed out is like, what is going on with this Jets team that there is no push in this second period where, you know, you're expecting Minnesota to sit back a little bit. They got a 2-goal lead. They're feeling good about their game. But at that point, I think the Jets had outshot them 14-8. And again, shots doesn't mean anything, but you have control of the puck if you have, if you're getting shots on net. So that's a good thing. But then all of a sudden, Minnesota comes out gangbusters and completely dominates the second period.
It was the worst. I mean, this was certainly the worst game of the year for the Winnipeg Jets. That second period was the worst period of the year for the Jets. And you can't, as you said, you can't lipstick it up. You can't make this seem any better than it was. It was, I mean, it was as one-sided as the score indicated. Yeah. And to your point, and this is certainly, I think, concerning. I mean, and this is certainly, you just shouldn't have this happen when you are as veteran-laden of a team as the Jets are. And I mean, you know, we know that Paul Maurice's reticence to play anybody that's young, you know, that you have veterans so you don't have this kind of thing happen. But when you're down 2-0 after the first period and you haven't played well and you're in the midst of this losing streak and you're in the midst of these struggles to have no pushback whatsoever, to have that 2-0 lead after 20 minutes or that 2-0 deficit after 20 minutes end up being a 5-0 deficit after 40 minutes and then a 6-0 deficit, you know, after 50 minutes. I mean, that's relatively unconscionable. I mean, you know, that is hard to sugarcoat. That's hard to justify given that you are a salary cap team, given that you're a veteran team. This is why you have veteran players, allegedly, so that things like this don't get so out of hand. Well, it got out of hand for the Winnipeg Jets. And ever since that first period of the Pittsburgh game, this is a team that just looks, you know, if they're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right now they are the worst of the two, and by far the worst. And then you have, you know, Calgary tomorrow night. And we know
that should be interesting.
We know how great the Flames have been playing.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about that tonight a little bit. We'll talk about that much more tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show back here on our YouTube channel. And then you have Arizona on Monday, and then you get that break. At least you get sort of the 3 days off before New Jersey comes on Friday. Well, this Jets team right now needs a great reset because whatever they've devised. I mean, it's amazing to think that those two games against Edmonton weren't that long ago. And even that game against, even that game against Vancouver that they ended up losing, but they were by far the better team.
Yeah.
Well, right now this team is just looking like they're in absolute disarray. And that's difficult to accept given the roster, given the alleged talent level, and given the veteran nature of the group. That's where I just don't think you should ever have struggles of this nature and to be this one-sided and this inept as they were today.
Yeah, and look, this is going to be the biggest test for this Jets team coming into action this season is going to be how they respond to this. Because if you can lose games. And
sure, you're going to lose
play, games. And play well. But if you lose games and play like this, I mean, you can't frame this in any way, shape, or form. There's nothing positive. Like I said, you can't put lipstick on this pig and say, people are too smart, especially in this market. Like, people know what's going on. People can see things. So we're not going to sit here and blow smoke and say, oh, well, you know, this was good, and this was good, and this was good, because that would be disingenuous of us, and people would see through it. So, I mean, I think the reality for everyone is, where do you go from here? Because, I mean, guys, the Jets have played 20 games and they haven't had any injuries, right? Yeah. Other than Paul Stastny since on November 6th.
They've had some guys out of the lineup, though. I
mean, they've had three. Okay, so they've had Paul Stastny out since November 6th. He came back today. Yeah. You had Scheifele and Wheeler dealing with COVID. But I guess what I'm getting at is you had a defense, and I'm not putting this all on the defense. Obviously, today's game wasn't ideal. It's the offense that has just completely vanished and disappeared. Mm-hmm. But you have a defense that's been together now for 20 games. That's more than some teams play an entire season, you know, and these guys who are all kind of, you know, obviously not DeMelo and Stanley, but with Schmidt and Morrissey and Pionk and Dylan, you had those new pairings. Well, they've played 20 games together. They've now formed that chemistry. So there's that background they've got that, you know, that they can draw upon. But again, like I said, I'm not pinning this on all on defense. I mean, there were some defensive deficiencies in tonight's game. Obviously, when you give up seven goals, it's not all on the goaltender. I mean, some of the defensive breakdowns were pretty bad. You know, like Matt Dumba wide open on that goal to make. I mean, it was over anyways. Didn't matter. No, but it's still
there,
like
there were breakdowns before that.
Yeah,
that,
no,
that
no.
When the game still mattered. That
yeah, and Drew, I just want to say, so to me, a test of this Jets team. You want to talk about, like, you know, testing your mettle? Well, you got to put up and shut up and telling us and telling the media or telling fans, hey, you know, we're still a good team. We have faith. Well, okay. You know, you lose one that plays, you lose two. Okay. Well, you've built some cushion. You're okay in that regard. Now you've lost three. Oh, you lost four. Okay. Well, now you're starting to have a problem. And it, you know, like I said, people in this market are savvy. They're going to understand what the problems are with this Jets team. And so Jets have to go into Calgary. And you have to compete your asses off. And again, like I said, you can lose the game, but if people feel that you gave a 60-minute effort, then it's going to be a little bit more understandable, because this wasn't a 60-minute effort today. This was a 60-minute embarrassment, as far as I'm concerned. I honestly was trying to find one player that I could say, oh, well, you know, this person was marginally noticeable. I'd say, and I'm not saying Pierre-Luc Dubois because of his goal. There were a couple of instances where he made some plays, but like there were also places on the power play where he like just makes a terrible pass, throws it right past his defenseman. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this goes back to that whole idea of the Jets passing is completely off. So this Jets team is just off. Like, it's just off. And again, you know, when you commend them when they've done things that they've done well. When they played Edmonton, we commended them because they played a very good Edmonton team and they played them well for both games. But when this team is doing what they're doing right now, there's nothing to cheer about or to reward them for, because they don't deserve it. They haven't done it. And like I said, it goes right from the top. You know, Blake Wheeler, still not doing anything. Mark Scheifele, still not doing anything. Kyle Connor, didn't do much today. You know, and again, like I said, people were saying, oh, well, they're not elite. Guys, they're still potentially, like, Kyle Connor's still an elite player in this league. I'm sorry. And Mark Scheifele, in theory, could be. He's not having a very good season, but he's got a pretty good, you know, body of work. So I'm just saying that. But right now, none of those guys are playing like they're elite.
No, there's nobody on the Jets that are elite. I mean, adequate is what you would want. I mean, today there was nobody that even played adequate. There was a complete void of execution in tonight's game. I mean, you to come out and put forth this effort after you're not happy with your effort the last couple of games is a problem. And I think, you know, tomorrow's game against Calgary is going to be a significant barometer for this team. Do they have the fight? Tonight they did not have the fight. You know, if they do not have a fight again, you know, I'm looking on my second screen here, and Connor Hellebuck was addressing the media, and he was saying that, you know, here's a quote courtesy of our buddy Mike McIntyre: tomorrow it's on, there's no more of this. We're going to give it tomorrow. Well, that's all nice and good. But if you don't give it tomorrow, then you really have a problem. You know, this is bad. Don't get me wrong. This was bad. But if it gets compounded by another effort like this tomorrow, not saying that they have to win tomorrow, but that certainly would be the preferred result. But if you respond to tonight's game with an effort that is similar, then you have to wonder, is there something rotten? Because this is just unacceptable, but unacceptable can't be for more than one game. You know, it can be that you're struggling to score, which they clearly are, but if you're struggling to score and your underlying numbers are decent, the goals are going to come. There's just too much talent that the goals are going to stay away forever. But if the effort does not match what you need to win in the NHL, then you certainly have an issue that will need to be addressed. To me, this is a This was a leadership problem tonight. If you aren't ready to play, and you weren't because they gave up a goal, you know, 56 seconds into the game. You said 60-minute effort before, Dave. They didn't even have a 60-second effort. If you're not ready to play tomorrow, then you really have significant issues, because this was absolutely – there should be a level of embarrassment for the professionalism that the Jets just weren't able to show during tonight's game. And that, to me, is hard to accept, that you know that you're not ready to play for whatever reason. And I don't know what that reason is. I don't know why they're struggling. I don't know if it's a function of the decision to go with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen. I don't know if it's a function of the forward lines just aren't clicking right now. But whatever it is, this Jets team is certainly not clicking on the ice and off the ice. The off-ice decisions that are supposed to support the on-ice decisions were not good enough either today. You're on mute.
Well, I was trying. I didn't want, because people complain when they hear the click, 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 click. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't doing that. So what I said was just riveting, folks, and I hope you really enjoyed it. Make sure to smash that like button if you can, and drop us a comment in on our iTunes. You know, because remember, despite what you think about the Jets, you still like the IC guys. So that's kind of all that matters. What I was going to say is, I was actually shocked, and someone said that in the chat, and I agreed with it. I was surprised that they didn't use their timeout, you know, to kind of try and get a reset. Like, to me,
after the 2-0 goal,
I just thought to myself, like, here's an opportunity to get your team. Like, again, if you want to just kind of call it those two unlucky bounces against Connor Hellebuyck, the first two goals, fine. Like I said, a tip and a ricochet off three things and into the back of the net. Mm-hmm. So you could, but I mean, you got to kind of reset the team. You got to get them going. You can't wait really to the second intermission, because the truth is, if you can get a 2-1 goal into this first intermission, maybe you get a team that is so, I don't want to call them fragile right now, but they feel kind of fragile right now.
Oh, there's no question they're fragile.
So that's my point. So you get them going a little bit, right? You give them a little bit of motivation, a little bit of like jump in their step. But right now they go in, everybody's clutching their sticks so hard. I mean, and like I said, it's across the board. I can't think of one player specifically from the forwards that had a good game tonight.
No, there wasn't any forward that stood out for any good reason. Nobody deserves praise based on the performance tonight. And that's in the entire, that's up and down, that's on ice and behind the bench.
Oh, yeah.
Because to your point there about the timeout, it's 2-0 very early in this game. There's no question that the Jets are off to a very rocky start. The bounces are going the Wild's way. So what do you need to do? You need to slow everything down. You need to get everybody to, you know, to take a deep breath and to just, you know, because a 2-0 game, that's certainly not out of it. You know, you need to, you know, you got 53 minutes left in the game when you're down 2-0 still. I think at that point in time, you try and just calm everybody down. Instead, the Jets take it to the intermission. You know, I don't remember there being much in terms of overwhelming opportunities in those last 10 minutes of the first period. But you come out just as flat in the second period. I mean, you give up goals 45 seconds apart, within the first 3 minutes of the second period. You can't call the timeout when you're down 4-0. It's too late at that point.
Oh, yeah,
when you're down 4-0 and the Jets haven't scored, you know, a goal in you know, more than a game and a half.
Yeah,
the game's done at 4-0. You know, when they pulled,
I felt at 3-0. It was done
at 3-0. You sort of felt that as well.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right. So if you're going to try and sort of refocus everybody, that refocusing has to happen, I think, after that second goal. 100%. And you see a lot of other coaches do that. And that's not typically been the MO of Paul Maurice. I'm not really sure why. I mean, the timeout in hockey is not what I would describe, is not as significant as, say, a timeout in football. Those are more significant than they are in hockey, despite the fact you call a timeout and you know when you're pushing for a tying goal and you sketch out a play. I mean, whatever, there's only so much influence that timeout really has. It was bad. I mean, sometimes it's just as simple as saying this was bad all around for the Winnipeg Jets. You know, Connor Hellebuck, as I mentioned, is, you know, spitting a little bit of fire, as you expect Connor Hellebuck to do, because that's what we've seen from him over these years. But the goaltenders have been absolutely hung out to dry as of late. I mean, you might not love their performance. It's not like Hellebuck was exceptional, but when you only score one goal, and when you're down 6-0 before you can score that one goal, what do you want from the goaltenders? To me, it's just up and down the roster. They are completely discombobulated. They are completely out to lunch as to how they need to execute. It's time to probably, with Stastny back now and healthy, it's time to go back to the drawing board and try and figure out the forward groups, the forward lines that are going to put you into the best place to succeed. And with all due respect, it's just not with Blake Wheeler in a top six role right now. And it's with a hard conversation to Mark Scheifele that says, you need to be better.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, you're Mark Scheifele. You think of yourself among the best centermen in the NHL. You haven't been that through the first 20 games of this year. You know, it's time now for a little bit of some hard conversations. When things were going well, hey, hunky dory, you don't have to have those hard conversations. Things aren't going well now. It's time to really, have those difficult chats.
Well, I mean, there's no question about it. And people are asking about personnel change. I mean, the irony, of course, is that, you know, you want to talk about bringing guys up from the AHL. And obviously, you know, I would be the first person, despite the fact that Ken Weeb's trying to organize himself as the driver of the David Gustafson bus. I mean, come on, boys and girls. You know, the first person who's been on the David Gustafson train is Dave Minuk. So let's just call that one right now. But, you know, the truth is, I mean, honestly, is someone going to claim Riley Nash? Who's claiming Riley Nash?
Yeah, maybe somebody will, Riley Nash, you know, look, when they signed him in the offseason, I didn't have a problem with it.
No, I thought it was a good signing, and based on his preseason, I thought he would be fine. I thought he'd play a good role, get into the PK, be fine on that fourth line. And like I said, you'd rather see him play 5 minutes and David Gustafson play 20 in the AHL than the reverse. So, you know, but I'm just saying, like, Nate Beaulieu, do you think someone's going to really take Nate Beaulieu? Well, because of his ability to play forward?
Well, let's talk about that. Finish your thought, and then we'll talk about the 11-7 decision a little bit later.
Well, I'm just saying that there are guys who will work their asses off from the AHL, and I'm not saying they necessarily have the same talent. But, you know, the truth is, if you need to, and it will be interesting, right? Like, it'll be interesting to see the Moose are playing tomorrow afternoon. So we'll see. You know, Will's going to the game. I can't see actually if Will's in the chat today, but Will's going to the game with some of his family. And we're going to hook someone else up, for the record, before I forget, with 4 tickets for Sunday's game. So I know everybody's despondent about the Jets and spitting fire about the Jets, but the American Hockey League team, the Manitoba Moose, playing very well. I'm not doing a Moose Minute right now. Save that for tomorrow, maybe. But just so you guys know, so I've got 4 tickets. I'm going to come up with a contest because I just don't like doing it this way. But for right now, if someone wants to go, 4 premium seats, section 118, so it's dead center, row 3, 4 tickets, or I can give you 2 if you want and leave 2 for somebody else. But send me an email, dave@illegalcurve.com, or just give me a DM in IC Dave or the Illegal Curve account, and we'll hook you guys up with 4 tickets or 2 tickets, whichever you want. I want to leave 2 for somebody else. But yeah, they're good seats. They're great seats. And you'll watch the Moose and the Stars. Should be a really good series this weekend, both games, 2 o'clock Saturday and Sunday. We'll obviously have them covered for illegalcurve.com. And we'll have it a little bit covered with them. Maybe I get a Moose Minute tomorrow morning. But anyways, so I think there's guys like Gustafson, Perfetti, you know, Jeff Malott, you signed him to an NHL deal. Christian Reichel. I mean, again, they don't necessarily have that same NHL talent. But if you need an infusion, if you need some energy, you need something. Because right now, this isn't working. So I think that something that's going to spark this team, maybe it's a challenge to guys' jobs. If these guys don't feel that they have the security of a roster spot, because these young guys all want the spot. You know, David Gustafson is being a good soldier. Cole Perfetti is being a good soldier. And they're never going to complain about playing in the AHL. They're too smart for that. But they will also, and Pascal Vincent used to say this, You want those guys to want to play in the NHL. So they want it. They want that opportunity. They want that chance. And again, David Gustin had it earlier in his career. Played, I think he's played 26 games total in the NHL with the Jets when they had some injury problems before. We'll see if something like that happens. Now, will the Jets try and rectify this with the same lineup tomorrow? Obviously, maybe re-injecting Nash and Vesalainen and pulling Beaulieu out, possibly. Who knows? And maybe saving anything for Monday and let the Moose go. We'll see. I don't know. But it should be very interesting. And like I said, I wouldn't be adverse to seeing some of these young guys because they're ready for the challenge and they're probably licking their lips at the opportunity.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to do some giveaways, and we're also going to talk about the 11-7 decision ahead of tomorrow night's contest against the Calgary Flames. It's the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you. Stay with us. Much more to come. We're live on our YouTube channel and all of our social media platforms.
Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the biggest acts and all the up-and-comers. They've all made their mark at Rumors Comedy Club, North America's longest-running independent comedy club. Rumors has kept Winnipeg laughing for over 25 years. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends or book your office or birthday party, even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Whoa! Oh, Ezzy, why are you so happy?
I just crushed two fresh Bagelsmith bagels with schmear. They're open on Jets home game nights until puck drop.
Didn't you have Bagelsmith for lunch too?
Yes, yes I did. What's your point?
Come on, bagel boy. Let's go to the game.
Bagelsmith is Winnipeg's first and only Montreal-style bagel shop located at 185 Carleton Street. Visit bagelsmith.ca.
He winds up. Oh, looks like Ezzy took that one right in the choppers.
A blistering fast puck hurts like HE double hockey sticks. That's why I let the pros at Linden Market Dental Center turn my yow into
wow.
Get your brilliant smile back with state-of-the-art restorative and cosmetic dentistry from real pros.
And remember, always wear a mouth guard.
Now that's solid on ice advice. Learn more at LindenMarketDentalCenter.com. Creating smiles for life.
Whoa, Ezzy, everything okay? You look stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. We're moving, the house is upside down, the kids failed miserably at packing the fine china, and my life is in chaos. Chaos!
Yes, that does sound like a problem.
What am I going to do?
Ezzy, relax. Rolly's Transfer Moving and Storage is the answer. With 60 years of experience in moving Manitobans and a track record of exemplary customer service, one call to Rollies and your stress is gone. No job is too big or too small. Just visit Rollies.com and they will take it from there.
Thanks, Dave. And thank you, Rollies Transfer Moving and Storage, online at Rollies.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at ZappiaGroup.com.
Whether it's watching the game with friends, pizza night with the family, or date night for two, this holiday season, give the gift of special occasions. Get a free $10 promo card when you buy a $50 gift card from Boston Pizza. Because nobody re-gifts pizza.
For three generations and over 80 years, Tough Duck has been making apparel that works and plays as hard as the people who wear it. From jackets to work boots and everything in between, Tough Duck's clothing can handle the harshest environments, even the Illegal Curve hockey show. Work to live, live to play. Visit toughduck.com. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Dave Manuk with you on this Friday evening. Just so everyone's aware, it'll be a bit of an abbreviated edition of the post-game show. Dave and I have some dinners to attend, so we don't want to leave you completely hanging, but just so you know, it won't be as long or as lengthy as it usually is. That being said, we got two full hours of hockey talk coming to you tomorrow morning with the Illegal Curve hockey show. That's at 9 a.m. Oh, you better believe we're going to be talking about tonight's game and the Winnipeg Jets struggles as a whole. So join us back here 9 a.m. tomorrow for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And then, of course, after tomorrow night's Jets and Flames game, the Illegal Curve post-game show, it'll be Legal Curve After Dark post-game show probably right around 11:45 p.m. or so tomorrow. So a big day for all of us here at Illegal Curve tomorrow with the show in the morning, and then the Moose game in the afternoon, and then the post-game show following the Jets and the Flames. So obviously a busy day. Keep it locked here to our YouTube channel and to the website, of course. And while you're at it, smash the like button. Leave us some reviews on our podcast if you download it. And we always appreciate the interaction with us and all of our fans.
Lots of responses, Drew, for the Moose tickets, so I'm going to have to make some tough decisions.
There you go. And if Dave's going to make some tough decisions, but there will be additional opportunities throughout the course of the year where Dave M should have some more Moose tickets.
Oh, I've got tons. We got lots. I've got lots of more games. Don't worry.
There you go. Crazy Dave is got
all got to go. Black Friday special.
There you go. It's a Black Friday special here for Dave M. The decision to go 11-7 tonight, Dave. I mean, we sort of expected Stasny would be back in the lineup.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to allegedly ease him back into the lineup maybe, but you go with 11 forwards and 7 defensemen instead. I understood why they did it when they did it the first time. Mm-hmm. You almost didn't have another option. But yeah, to do so today just seemed very... I mean, I think that's a sign of a coach who's maybe outthinking himself.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Drew. I don't understand it because you think that, look, I mean, Blake Wheeler played the second most minutes of the game. So, I mean, like, it does defy logic, right?
The definition of insanity.
Kyle Connor played the most, I think, at 20, and then Blake Wheeler was a marginal amount more than the third guy, but he was around 18:23, I think.
18:23, exactly.
You know, so, I mean, so it is inexplicable because you have a guy in Stastny who hasn't played since November 6th, and he's well-conditioned, but he's still 36 years old, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you've got to ease him back in, and you need him. You need him because, joking aside, the Jets' power play without Paul Stasny has been atrocious. And with him, it was decent. Like, it wasn't like an atrocious, it wasn't great power play by any stretch of the imagination, but they seemed to have more options. And without him, well, we know what they did. They were 1-for-22. Mm-hmm. And even tonight they scored, even though, I mean, it was whatever. It was kind of a whatever power play goal, but yeah, they still scored, right? And even the power play, I mean, the first power play unit was on for a minute and a half in one of the power plays. And I thought to myself, like, that's just, and I know they're getting chances, but it's about balance. So, yeah, I mean, Drew, and I think that idea of balance, if you take it further, goes back to the whole idea of pulling out Christian Vesalainen and Riley Nash. Like, the Wild seemed to be, obviously, they had dealt with an issue. I think Zuccarello had an injury in the second period. So I don't know that he, you know, like, they obviously had to mitigate that. But you saw the Wild. Like, they were coming at the Jets, and they were, seemed to be at least. And again, like I said, our attention generally is more on the Jets than what their opponents are doing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, they seem to have their, you know, Bukestad played 9:27. But a lot of their guys, like their fourth line guys.
Yeah.
Even, you know, Rembit, like 12:59.
They're playing them. Sure, I mean, I know it's easy to play them. It's easy to play them when you're up 7-1.
For sure. But I'm just saying, it's at least giving those guys, I mean, again, it's spelling the other guys off. I mean, you just need to give these guys some rest because, like, they just don't, like, the tank is empty. It really is. Like, I'm sorry, you scored one goal against the Penguins. You scored no goals against Columbus. You scored one goal at the end of a meaningless, you know, third period against Minnesota. And you're in for, like, the guy who's got the most shutouts in the NHL right now in Markstrom tomorrow night against in Calgary, against the best team in the Western Conference right now. Yeah. So, you know, maybe having guys like, I get that you want to win this game. It's a more important game to win today than it is tomorrow because it's, you know, a divisional rival or a conference rival. But,
well, but how does going 11-7 help, you know, put you in the best spot to win? That's the part that I don't understand. And, you know, that's the part that I would ask Paul Maurice is, you know, what's the logic behind it? What is the thinking? And I don't know if any of our colleagues asked that question in the post game. I haven't yet been able to see it. And of course,
it'll be available. We'll have all the post game on illegalcurve.com.
But to me, it's just, you know, when you're starting that way, I just don't know how that's putting your team in a position to succeed.
Right.
That's the problem. The part I don't understand. You have a lot of forward depth. You have
good forwards. You have very good forwards. But your refusal to use them properly and to space out your forward skill set is, to me, just, you know, to some extent, pretty inexplicable. And it's not a new phenomenon here. This is something, you know, we've been talking about for a long, long time. And this is going to be something that we talk about tomorrow on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. That's you know, what is the logic? How does the team, benefit from this decision? Where does the team go from here with the forward group? These are all the questions that are top of mind for the Winnipeg Jets, for their fans. You mentioned they have Calgary, a very good Calgary team tomorrow. You know, and then they got Monday against the Coyotes. Well, you play like you played tonight. I don't care who you're playing against. I don't care if it's the Phoenix Coyotes that you're playing against. You're going to lose. You cannot put forth this effort at a professional hockey level and think that's going to succeed. So this Jets team now has, you know, let's say 28 hours or so to figure out a way for them to recalibrate, refocus, rebalance, and figure out a way to succeed ahead of a very difficult game tomorrow night against the Calgary Flames.
100%.
Will they be able to do it? We'll know more at tomorrow night's post-game show, but we remind you to join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, where we'll have much more about today's debacle. Ezzy will be back, I think.
We hope.
Yeah, unless he's still at 7-Eleven trying to buy some milk or something. But Ezzy should be back here for 9 a.m. tomorrow.
Big thanks, by the way, Drew. Sorry. I got to say, like, it's so funny. Like, I kept telling Ezzy he needs to give me the lotto numbers because he keeps breathing life into these, you know, people keep following him. First, we had Brad, you know, do our portraits and the caricature. That was pretty awesome. Yeah. And then someone sent me a, and I put it on Twitter, and I don't think I put it on our Instagram, but I put it on my own Twitter of someone kind of doodling. I see it. Thought it kind of summed us all up. Me doing Moose stuff, you just throwing your hands in the air, just, you know, exasperated at the two of us, and Ezzy being Ezzy. So we, you know, I gotta give a shout out. Thanks. You know, for when people do that, because we love it. We think it's hilarious, and
we appreciate it. Yeah, exactly right. Dave M, you have a dinner to go to, so let's we're gonna wrap up the post game show, as we mentioned, a little abbreviated.
We're leaving him wanting more.
Come back tomorrow, 9 a.m. You'll have more tomorrow than you'll have more tomorrow with the post game show, and of course, the website has got you covered top to bottom. Smash the like button if you haven't already done so. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, that way you get alerted each and every time we go live. Our buddies Kenny and Rennie are going to be starting up in about 10 minutes time or so, you know, a couple minutes later than normal. So maybe go pour yourself a beverage. It is after 5 o'clock on a Friday after all, and come back and check out Kenny and Rennie, and then join us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. And then, of course, the website is going to have all the latest audio after today's debacle, and then get you ready for tomorrow and the Jets and the Flames. Big thank you to all of our sponsors here at Illegal Curve. They make this show possible. You know their names: Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, Zappia Group Realty, our friends at Tough Duck, Bagelsmith, Boston Pizza, Seagram's, and Rolly's Transfer. Support these businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Thanks so much to everybody for joining us. For Dave Manouk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel.
I just want to interject quickly, Drew. Sorry.
Go for it.
Just an FYI, I'm not sure when it's happening. I'm switching illegalcurve.com to a different server, more powerful server, because we're getting so much action on the site. So if people are noticing anything, this weekend, just an FYI, the server is being transferred to something that's more powerful. So we'll be able to accommodate all the traffic, which isn't a bad thing, but I just want people to know in case they go to illegalcurve.com. Sorry.
There you go. Dave M with a little FYI on the technical side of things. Thanks so much for everyone. Enjoy some family time. We'll see you back here 9 a.m. tomorrow for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. For Dave Manouk, I am your host, Drew Mandel. If it's, until tomorrow at 9 a.m., we wish you a good night, good evening, whatever you're going to say. Good evening, good night, and good luck. Thanks for watching the Illegal Curve postgame show.
Thanks for listening to this broadcast from Illegal Curve Hockey. For more great Illegal Curve content, subscribe to the Illegal Curve YouTube channel, follow at Illegal Curve on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and visit your online home for hockey in Winnipeg, illegalcurve.com.